Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 153 for March 16th, 2021. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today we are going to be looking at your trade ideas. So a bunch of people submitted symbol ideas for the survey over the last couple of days. And we're going to take a look at the overall markets and then take a look at some of those symbols. So today I've arranged for Jake Bernstein to join us again, and you should be seeing his screen right now. And the option professor is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, David, thank you very much. And welcome everybody to the broadcast here. We're very fortunate to have Jake Bernstein with us, who is, in my view, one of the legendary guys on technical analysis in the markets. And he's been here before, so I'm going to be referring to some things he talked about last year that were extremely accurate. But before we get started, if you've been living under a rock and you don't know who Jake Bernstein is, Jake, a little background on yourself?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jim, and thanks for the compliments. I much appreciate it. So I've been trading since 1967. I'm a completely technical trader. Don't look at fundamentals whatsoever. I've written about 45 books on trading. I've appeared at about 800 webinars and seminars all over the world. And I believe in what's called fact-based, rule-based trading, which means I need to know why I'm doing what I'm doing when I'm doing it, and I need to know all the rules, and there's no interpretation or analysis of any kind. And that's about all I can say right now.
Okay, perfect. We have some stocks that we're going to go over, but again, we're also going to go over some of the indexes and some of the different sectors of the market, like grain and metals and interest rates and the U.S. dollar and stuff, which I think you are very familiar with. But let's go over some of the stocks here and see what you think. The first one is CRSP, which has obviously been a very volatile but a good winner for some people.
So here's a CRISPR chart, and let me explain the chart. It's a daily chart, open, high, low, close. I don't use candles. Too much information for me. The two moving averages on top, the blue line is a 10-day moving average of highs. Red line, 8-day moving average of lows. I have here a momentum divergence indicator. Over here, I have Williams accumulation distribution and its moving average. And when we get two complete consecutive price bars below the bottom of the channel and the Williams, the blue line goes below the red line, we have a sell trigger. And so right now we're clearly in sell mode and the stock is heading down. It's a wonderful stock longer term. Looking at the weekly chart is where we get the very big picture. And so long-term, still very bullish, but daily in a bear trend.
Next one is something located here in Vegas, and it's a company linked to Bitcoin. It's Riot, R-I-O-T. The low this year, I can't believe I didn't have a lot of this. I live in the town where it's located. It started the year, I think, at 70 cents or something. And
Riot blockchain has been an interesting story.
Oh, boy.
I traded it a couple of years ago. They were just a regular company until they added blockchain to their name.
Right.
As soon as they added blockchain to the name, the thing went crazy, then settled back down again for months and months. And of course, with the recent rise of Bitcoin and cryptos, blockchain, Riot blockchain, including Marathon blockchain, have gone crazy again. Not my kind of stock. I don't think there's any value to it whatsoever. But in terms of what we're looking at regarding indicators, we just turned bullish again with our two lines above the top of the channel and our Williams above its moving average. So if you like this kind of speculation, you buy the bottom of the channel at about 50 bucks a share.
How about CrowdStrike, CRWD?
Now, CrowdStrike's got some value to it, and here's the chart. Knowing, of course, that lately tech stocks have taken a beating, so it is in a bear trend short term. So if you're trading from the long side, I wouldn't own it. Trading from the short side, you're okay shorting a stock this expensive, but in terms of shorting a cheap stock, I wouldn't do it because we know what can happen there.
Right. Next one up is going to be DraftKings. Everybody's gambling online, according to what they say, and with all this stimulus check, a lot of two-team parlay is going to be done.
You know? Is it DRFT?
Yeah, it's a DKNG.
DKNG. Let's take a look at it. Hold on a second. DKNG. That's right. I should know that. Yep. Beautiful uptrend, a lot of good swing trading opportunities from the bottom of the channel. And you'll notice what happens when we switch from a daily to a weekly chart. That's where we get the most consistency. Even though they've only been around for a couple of years, the bottom line is the trend's up, good support at the bottom of the channel, and definitely the kind of stock you want to invest in for the intermediate term, as opposed to being a short-term trader, although there are daily short-term opportunities as well.
Next symbol up is WKHS.
Workhorse.
Yeah.
Traded that one so many times, I can't believe it. It's just a beautiful trading stock. Not as much as it used to be a few months ago, since it crashed about a month ago. Until then, it used to be a beautiful stock to swing trade. Trades more like a commodity futures contract than it does a stock. There's the workhorse for you in a downtrend.
AFL?
Aflac, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. A lot of the insurers, people like Travelers and Marsh McLennan. So they think this sector is actually a pretty good one to get in. The periphery on the financials, I guess.
Let me say this. This last summer, there was a fire up where I live, and part of my property burned down. And I will say that dealing with State Farm, they paid me immediately. They acted in real professional manner and made up for all the damage I had. So I'm very impressed with State Farm. And Aflac's got a beautiful looking chart.
Yeah, it looks like it wants to go higher, right?
You bet.
Yeah. And the other insurers I mentioned are also in that group that look like they've got a good bid on them. Next one up is going to be GOEV.
Traded that one too. Great little trading stock. Not too expensive either. And here's the chart. Just turned. This is what I call a bullish setup. We need to see a trigger, which would be the blue line above the red line here. So there is no trigger as yet, but it's been a great trading stock. And I would say this, in this market environment, with commissions being zero for online trading, there's really no excuse for people to not be able to make money on a short-term swing basis. A lot of great opportunities.
Ford, the newcomer to the electric car market.
Just bought Ford today at the bottom of the moving average channel. You can see what happened right over here. So I'm officially long, and this is just a swing trade. My fill was 1253. So I'm a little behind the eight ball here, but again, I'm looking for a move back up to the top of the channel. Just a swing trade.
Next guy up here is TR.
TR. Hold on a second. And I think maybe I'll turn my Skype off to not distract anyone. Here's TR. I
thought somebody was hiccuping in the background there.
My Skype. TR, Tootsie Roll Industries. I remember that one from a long time ago. Jesus, this thing barely moves at all. But the trend has definitely turned higher just in the last few days. By the way, there's a great series on, I think it's Netflix, called The Food That Made America, which talks about all these iconic foods that we've got, potato chips, Fritos, the O. Henry bar, and all the rest of that stuff, and how they came about in the 1920s and late 1800s. Very interesting. You learn a lot about these different companies, including Tootsie Roll.
How about Carnival Cruise? It's already had a big run, but...
CCL. Here's CCL.
They've learned how to borrow money.
Yeah, no kidding.
They've got more debt than seats on the boat.
You bet. And again, the trend is clearly up. And one thing I want to point out to people is this. If you're looking for a trade, you're trading the daily chart. If you're looking for an investment, you change the daily chart to a weekly chart, and everything changes in terms of its stability.
Yeah, yeah.
The weekly is much better, more stable for investors. But if you're a trader, you're doing the daily chart. Significant opportunities there.
Next one on deck is Teva, which is one that I like, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And it's generic out of Israel. And you would think they would be able to do something. Buffett's an owner of the darn thing.
Yeah.
But it seems like every time it goes up to 11 and a half, it goes back down to 10 and a half.
It's the pharmaceutical, right?
Yeah, it's generic. Yeah.
Yep. Here we go. Clearly, again, according to the rules, downtrend started right over here.
Yeah.
With 2 bars below the bottom of the channel. Every time we've come up to resistance, we failed. But longer term, I think it's a great company. It just takes a whole lot to make it move.
Yeah. Can you pull back to a weekly and see if the mathematics look any better?
Oh, yeah. The weekly has definitely turned bullish, but we're basically in a sideways market for a couple of years now.
Right. That's a long time to just sit there. What about what price level would you think it might be time to get off the couch and do something?
I'd go to the monthly chart. I'd buy the monthly chart. Bottom of the monthly channel is 1170. I'm sorry, 924. Minus
920, right. 924. And where would it be breaking above resistance and maybe going someplace above?
That would be above 11 bucks.
Above 11 bucks and yeah. staying above there.
Correct.
Yeah.
One little stock I want to show everybody that's kind of interesting that I've been trading a lot lately.
It's sure.
A cute little stock. Let me bring it up on the screen. It just broke out. U. Great symbol. And here it is. So that's what a cheap bullish stock can do. Turning bullish right over here. Never turning bearish at all, because it would mean we need to see 2 bars below the bottom of the channel, which we don't see. And even though this indicator turned negative, by not having 2 complete consecutive bars below the bottom of the channel, it turned out to be a buying opportunity. And it's a great little fun stock to trade. But if you're going to trade this one, tip, don't use market orders, limit orders only.
How's Nokia look? NOK. You know, they just fired 10,000 people and we got 5G coming down the road. Is there a deal there?
It'd be a great little stock for the Robinhood traders to manipulate.
Yeah.
That would be look at the daily chart. Yeah, this is the daily chart. So again, we've got buy setup waiting for a buy trigger. So it's not time yet, but this would be a little Robinhood advantage. venture right over here. Don't be surprised if that happens again.
How about Ericsson, E-R-I-C, another European phone guy?
Yep, here you go.
I thought that looked like it might be gone someplace.
Now this one, spot on. This one has definitely broken up.
Yeah.
You see the buy setup right over here? And then buy trigger right over here. So we have definitely turned bullish.
And if you go out to a 10-year graph, this thing used to be a lot higher down the road.
Oh, yeah. Here's the monthly chart. In fact, here's the quarterly chart.
Yeah.
So way back over here.
Yep.
The 1990s, late 1990s, it was well over $100 a share.
Yeah. It's also an illustration, if you buy at a bad time, you could be in there for a while.
No kidding. People will throw gross hair on it.
Well, this one here is interesting to me because I just opened a few accounts and I signed my documents through DocuSign. So this is supposed to be a very sticky company, DOCU, meaning some of the stay-at-home and, shall we call them, COVID stocks may be transitory, but this one could be a permanent fixture in our lives. And so that's why people thought this was interesting. But what do you think?
Yeah, I have signed many DocuSign documents in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
In terms of the chart, it's, well, for lack of a better term, it's messy.
Yeah.
Back and forth and back and forth. And again, I think it's the kind of company you want to invest in, which means you'd want to be using a weekly chart, which is much more beautiful picture in terms of consistency. So right here, where it is now, at or below support, clearly a long-term investment. If you're willing to take the risk on this methodology is 2 times the width of the channel. So the risk would be about $50 a share, which is pretty substantial.
Yeah. This seems to be it'll be a casualty of the valuation compression because this is obviously trading at probably 9 million times sales or something, you know.
Easily.
So that's one of the problems. You have a great company, but you know, there's only so many dollars you can pay for a dollar of earnings.
Correct.
PTC.
PTC. Here you go. And that's the weekly chart. And here's the daily. So the daily is negative at resistance. The weekly is bullish and short term, definitely in a downtrend.
This last one, we all know, Microsoft. Supposedly it came down towards some support at 210, 220 or whatever. It's supposed to be a reasonable value at that time. And looks like it's back on the bicycle or no?
Yeah, it's still in a bull trend. Yeah. In fact, this kind of stock would only trade on the weekly chart because the weekly has been so consistent.
Yeah.
Come down to support for the last 2 weeks in a row and clearly in an uptrend.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people have been involved, and me personally as well, in the energy and the banking stocks and have done very, very well because minus 37 crude sounded like the low to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure.
and $5 for Oxy seemed like a low price to me. Anyway, now we're not at those low prices anymore. So let's take a look at some of the oil stocks and see if trimming or hedging makes any sense. Let's start with the Cadillac, which is CVX. Which is your Chevron?
Yep.
And we'll work our way down.
CVX, daily trend bullish, came down to support today. Mm-hmm. Intermediate term trend bullish as well. It's a good buy. In fact, one of the ones that I've been looking at is COP.
Yep, COP.
Which also has a seasonal to the upside at this time of the year. So there's the breakout in the weekly chart. The daily chart came right down to support today. And I am personally long that stock.
How about the refiners and guys like that, like MRO, Marathon?
Here's MRO for you. Very similar chart. And for a low price stock, it's pretty good. So we have one bar completely below the bottom of the channel, which means tomorrow is a very important day. It's either going to make another bar below the bottom of the channel and give us a sell setup,
right,
or it's going to find support here. So it's a really good buying level to reduce risk.
Murphy, M-U-R.
Another seasonal to the upside, right, this time of the year. Very good stock to own at this time. And there it is. Beautiful chart.
That looks better than the other one, huh?
They look
like twins.
Yeah. We just updated today, right down to the bottom.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, there is some risk because we did hit that fairly 70 area on the crude. There is a risk that, you know, people could trim a little bit up here and fill in the gap between the moving averages and where the prices are.
True enough.
With regards to Schlumberger, one last one, SLB.
So you want to do SLB?
Yeah, see if they're drilling. I'm assuming people are in these sectors because they've been great sectors and they may want to know whether they should trim, hedge, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so it should be either SLB, which is at a low below support, or Halliburton, basically the same deal. And here's Halliburton. And
they all look like they're rolling over a little bit. Huh?
All came down to support today, which I think is kind of important. Be a good test of the markets tomorrow and for the rest of the week.
Let's go over to those financials that everybody's so excited about with the yield curve steepening. And let's start with Bank of America, BAC.
Yeah. Here you go. And the trend clearly up. And again, I want to stress the importance. If you're an investor, the weekly chart being of great beauty. The daily chart, hey, it's going to be back and forth a little bit, but it's a great trading vehicle.
And Citigroup, everyone likes that. sad. There used to be a low book to value, but I think that changed when it jumps up to 75.
Yeah, there's Citi for you again in a very solid short-term uptrend.
Yep.
Moving from about $60 a share to about $73 a share just recently. Nice little move.
Yep. And how about the regionals, KRE?
The bank index?
Yeah, they went nuts.
Yep, here you go. Similar kind of chart again. And one thing people might want to look at is TLT, the ETF for interest rates, or TBT. So here's TLT, which moves the opposite direction of interest rates, and TBT, which is the other way around. And that's been bullish for quite some time. It tends to be a little more stable than the bank stocks do.
Now, the TBT, is that going to go up when rates drop, when rates go up, or is that going to go up when rates go down?
When rates go down, it will go up. When rates go up, it will go down.
Huh. Okay. And
the hell out of me, but yeah. I take the trends anyway.
Yeah. Some of the industrials people have jumped on, like Boeing's had a big move lately. Is that a little bit too far, too fast? BA?
You know, considering all the bad news they had, the recovery is justified. So that's the daily chart. The weekly chart is where the big move is going to be. And that weekly chart actually bottomed while the news was still bad. So we started getting indications of a bottom here and here, but we didn't get a trigger until last week. So now the path is clear to buy the bottom of the channel, which is probably going to give us an opportunity to get in the next couple of weeks. I wouldn't be in a big hurry here.
Yeah, particularly with if we go back to the daily on that, do you sometimes put some credence into the high surrounded by lower highs? And there you've got a sellable point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because that is a sign of exhaustion sometimes, right?
It's true. People might be interested in the ETF called JETS.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're probably in it.
What did I do? I did something wrong here. What have I done here? Hold on one second.
Throw an S on there.
Here's the JETS ETF again. Yeah. It's a cheaper way to participate.
Yeah. And that also gives you the group of the airlines, which have also gone nuts based on their debt.
Correct.
They've had tremendous runs, and people are forgetting that like American Airlines owes more than Argentina or something like that.
I don't think that will ever be paid off except by the U.S. government.
Yeah. But when people are buying on a momentum play, everything goes out the window except the momentum play, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if we could kind of spend a little time going around the horn here on some of the sectors that we talked about a year ago that you really, gave some of the great input of all time. One was in the copper area where it was trading at like $2. And you were saying, you know, Freeport, well, me and you were saying the same thing on Freeport MacMoran, $10 was a gimme. And then you also brought up SCCO, which was paying a dividend as you brought to everyone's attention. So you were getting a dividend plus you are getting a very good value. And just show a chart on those two to give you an idea in the last year how they have done. I mean, it's just fantastic information.
So is here FCX, the one we just talked about, trading at about $10 a share, as you so correctly said. And we had a 213% move in that stock. Beautiful move. Mm-hmm. Of course, my favorite was Southern Peru Copper.
Yep.
The reason Southern Peru Copper was not in favor with a lot of investors is because it's located in Peru. They've since changed their name to Southern Copper, but being in Peru, there's some political risk there that they could be confiscated or taken over by the government. But nonetheless, the move in copper has been a beautiful move, and it continues to this very day. One thing traders should be aware of is copper usually tops in the month of March, so there should be some softness here. Copper was down 8 cents a pound today, so no surprise there. But FCX, and of course the COPX, which is the copper ETF, very cheap price standard at, and here was the move in COPX again, 113% since last June.
Again, a year ago, one of the other ones you were very keen on, you should put a chart on, is soybean oil. That soybean complex went on fire. We had the Chinese come in wanting to buy a lot of stuff, and then we had some supply disruptions. And so your insight on soybean oil from about 25 or 30 up to 55 is, of course, soybeans themselves went from 8 to 14. This is the kind of stuff that you want to get ahead of.
Yeah, that move in soybean oil was a historic move, really beautiful move, very close to all-time high. And of course, those people who were saying for many years, will we ever get beans in the teens? Well, I wish it was true.
Yeah. And it just goes to show you when things get going, they get going.
You, especially in futures, you're right.
How do you feel about these grains now? Because certainly they're not low priced anymore. And then you've got the harvest coming up, where obviously they're going to have planting and everything else coming up. You got corn 5.5. That stuff used to be in the 3s. So you got soybeans used to be in the 8s. Now at 14. You got wheat used to be in the 4s and 5s. They're at 6.5. Are these prices that are going to sustain? sustain, or do you think as we go into planting season, the May, June timeframe, there could be some kind of give back?
I think we're going to go higher, and I'll tell you why. These high prices, I think, have encouraged a lot of producers to sell crops that they had in storage and to sell crops they have not planted yet. And with this crazy weather we're getting, I think we're going to have a weather market into the summer and fall of this year. I think we're going to see new all-time highs in all the grains before the end of this year.
Now, Ray Dalio's group over at Bridgewater are definitely saying that there's an inflation surprise coming that the Fed nor investors are prepared for, as far as like everyone thinking the Fed is never going to hike interest rates till 2023. They obviously do not agree with that, because when the Fed is hit by numbers that they're not contemplating right now, they have to maybe change their tune. So if there is an inflationary spike, it would also probably help. Are you saying a lot of the guys who own it have short positions, so you could get that squeeze like we had years ago where the elevator operators were all short more than they had, or even, you know, like a GameStop where they're short more than the stock available?
Very possibly so. And one good way to participate is the ETF called DBC, Delta Bravo Charlie. It's a agricultural ETF, very low in price, but percentage-wise can make some pretty good moves. There's a lot of fun to trade if you're afraid of the kind of risk that you usually get in the grains and the beans.
Yeah.
As far as inflation is concerned, I think we are definitely in an inflationary market, and certainly at the beginning of it. I'm not sure how it's going to play out. A whole lot depends on what the Fed does with interest rates. So
right. You know, if they let real yields go to where they should be, then that would change the dynamic on the stock market. But if they try to keep real yields low, that could make the commodities go nutty, and then obviously the inflation go nutty, right?
True. And let me show you something that happened today that a lot of people are unaware of. Believe it or not, this is palladium. And believe it or not, palladium was up about $100 an ounce today.
Oh, wow.
It's a thinly traded market. But in terms of what's going on here, somebody's really running this market, buying a whole lot of palladium. As I said, very careful with palladium because it's not actively traded as a futures. There's an ETF you can trade. But if you look at the futures, I'm going to just show you this. Kind of staggering. This is a daily chart. Today's move in palladium, and I keep telling people, if you're going to trade palladium and you care about your future, don't trade the futures market unless you're well capitalized, because today's move alone just in the futures market was a $15,000 move in one day per contract.
Yeah, that's obviously not the way to go. Maybe a palladium stock would be the way to go.
Yeah, there's a palladium ETF. I think it's P-A-L-L. P-A-L-L.
Since we're on the metals here, let's look at the three horses, gold, silver, and platinum, because I'm looking at the platinum as maybe that could be a dark horse.
This is a very interesting situation. Let me show that to you. Hold on one second, please. So we'll look at the gold first.
Yeah.
It's clearly in a daily downtrend. So a lot of people are saying, we don't need gold anymore. We've got Bitcoin. So yeah. There's gold. Gold probably won't bottom until September, October of this year. But the real winner here, besides copper, has been platinum. And here's the platinum. But I want to show you something very interesting in a second. Let's look at the platinum. First, here's the platinum. You see the chart is exactly the opposite of gold.
Right.
But here's the theory. Here's the deal. Check this out. This is the spread between platinum and gold. I'm going to put it on a monthly chart. So look what happened. Back in 2007, platinum was trading at a premium to gold of about $1,200, meaning, in other words, that, as you know, Jim, the price of platinum was $1,200 higher than the price of gold. That relationship crashed to the point where platinum was trading at a discount to gold of over $1,000. Just in the last few months, that discount shrunk by $500. In other words, platinum has gone up $500 more than gold just in the last few months. And if the cycle is correct, which is in here in blue, this is just the beginning of the move, meaning everybody wants to own gold, everybody wants to own silver. The real winner here is going to be platinum.
It's similar to the gold to silver ratio when the gold to silver ratio went way over 100. Exactly. And all of a sudden, if you bought the silver, you got 10 times the, or not 10 times, you got multiple times the action that you got on gold.
Yep. And one of the key elements here that's most interesting from a news standpoint is that just recently here in the Bay Area, catalytic converters have been stolen from many vehicles. So what they do is they come along with a saw, they cut off your catalytic converter for the platinum, and they convert it and they melt it down for platinum value. And that's an interesting beginning of a trend showing you platinum's got a lot of value.
Are these Hearst cycles that you're looking at the bottom?
Nope, these are just simple old price cycles. In other words, from one low to the next, right over here. They're not perfect, but they usually pick out some very significant lows.
Yeah. Do they have similarity to the Hirsch cycles because they're time oriented?
Yeah, they do have some similarity to the work of J.M. Hirsch. That's correct, Jim.
Yeah. No, I've become aware of that, and I'm going to ask you a question in a little bit that has to do with that. Anyway, we got the gold idea. We got the platinum. Is the silver of value, or is there still going to be some back and forth there?
It's going to be back and forth, of course, because silver being what it is the poor person's gold. Can't say poor man's gold anymore.
Right.
The poor person's gold. So let me bring up the silver chart if I can find it. Here we go. Here would be the silver. And again, I favor platinum over gold and silver. I favor silver over gold. And here's the silver. Hold on a moment, please. Here we go. And here's the chart. So the silver chart, still bullish. I mean, a little retracement here. That's the daily chart. Looking at the weekly chart, we've had that great big move in silver from the original buy traders. But put it in perspective. Go to the monthly chart and you'll see something really interesting. The bigger picture, here you go. Mm. This was the all-time high in silver right over here. So bottom line is we are coming into the price range of where we were many years ago, which would be our first point of resistance up around $30 an ounce. So
but if we get above there and it opens the door quite a bit. Huh?
I think silver over the next 3 years has potential to go to all-time highs, yeah. Just like a lot of commodities do.
Let's hit three metal stocks. One was on the list here, GDX.
Yep, the gold ETF.
I thought at 30 looked like the bottom of that, but I don't know.
We have got buy setup in gold in GDX, but no trigger. So still a little bit too early, I'd say.
A little too early. How about SILJ, the juniors of silver?
Silver. Now, this one did trigger. In fact, it triggered today. Two bars above the top of the channel. Williams above its moving average means it's a buy at the bottom of the channel. Another one that I particularly like is Hecla.
That's part of this ETF. Yeah.
Good little trading stock. Here's Hecla. What did I do? Hold on one second. Here we go. And there's the Hecla chart also triggering today. Two bars above, Williams above. It's a buy at the bottom of the channel. Great little trading stock.
Could you go to the gold chart? I just wanted to see something that I've been doing that I didn't know if it had any validity because I'm a summer school technician. You know what I mean? okay, if you go to the weekly on gold.
Yep, here we go.
And I measured the low of around 1040 to the high of around 2063. And then I took 38% correction and I got 1675, which is where I did a lot of buying.
So you went from here?
Yeah, I measured from the 1040 mark. So that did you have to go back even further, didn't you? Like maybe you have to go back to the monthly? Because the actual move started from 1040 is the way I was counting.
Okay, so let's go to the 1040. So you mean it started to move around here?
Yeah, 1040, which would have been around 2016, 2017 or something like that? Or
so that would be right over here.
Yeah, is that 1040?
That low is 1072.
1072. And if you took that up to...
Right, it would be like 1045, right on the money.
Right, and then we went up to 2063 at the top?
That would be 2089 in futures.
89. So I took about 38% off of that, and I got that 1675 number, which is what the low has been recently.
That sounds like a nice percentage correction. That's right.
So it's a reasonable correction to say that that might be it for a while.
Yeah, that would be from here to here.
Yeah, at least you could get a bounce out of it, which I have gotten a bounce out of it.
Yeah, I think the big play in gold this year is going to be seasonal, and that usually won't happen until September, October.
Yeah, so you don't think there's a... But, you know, a bounce, you know, $50 or $100 isn't going to hurt anybody.
Huh? That's for sure. As an investor, I'd be a buyer at the bottom of the channel, which is the red line. The number of the red line as of today is 1541.
Yeah, which will get higher the longer it's above it too, right?
Correct. It'll move up. Correct.
On the energy market, crude is at around 65 here today. I'm sure people who are involved in energy would like to get an idea if this has a 70 and 80 print on it or if there's a pullback towards 55 or 60 beforehand.
So let's check out the crude chart.
Yeah.
And here you go. It's actually a beautiful chart technically. Keeps coming down to support, going right back up to resistance. There's the crude oil chart.
Yeah.
And I see nothing that stands in the way of this move continuing to the upside, which is really, I think, confusing a lot of people because they're all saying, well, we've got electric vehicles now. People aren't using that much petroleum. We've got the people staying at home, sheltering at home. They're not driving that much. Why is the price of crude moving up? Hey, I don't care why. All I know is the trend is up and it continues that way. And it's been that way for a long time.
Let's turn over to some livestock for people who don't don't know anything about where their stakes come from. Live cattle is up, it looks like at a pretty high, and feeders look like they're at pretty high prices, and the hogs are up over 100. Are these high prices, or is it going to be like you were saying, we could have some super cycle commodity inflation going on?
In terms of the bigger picture for cattle, go to the monthly chart. So we've really been going sideways in cattle for a long time, but the big winner here has been the hogs. The hogs have gone absolutely crazy. Let me show that to you.
I think they've doubled in price.
Oh, easily. Let me show you the chart. And that would be right over here. And the weekly chart has been from a move of about 50 to close to 100. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it continues that way. And one of the reasons, of course, is the fact that with the price of corn being what it is, producers don't want to put that many hogs on feed because it costs them more to feed them. And then they're afraid the market's going to come down. So that creates a shortage.
And in Asia, I think they had some kind of a swine flu or something that kind of knocked out some supply as well.
Probably swine COVID.
So yeah, probably came out of Wuhan. All right, let's turn to two of them that you were spot on a year ago as well. And you did those cycle things. I think those, those cycle is a very effective thing. You were very much bullish on the coffee under 100. It went up to as much as almost 140. And you were very constructive on the sugar at 10, and it went up to like 17. So how are we looking in those two this year?
So here's the big picture in sugar. Let me put up the screen with the cycles, show you what I was looking at the time. So there's the sugar chart. And what this, hold on one second.
You also had some commitment of trader information that you shared as well.
Yeah. You got a great memory.
I do.
So this is what we were looking at right over here in green. The green shows commercial buying, by which I mean the biggest end users in the country, in the world. So you're, for the first time in years, commercials bought more sugar consistently than ever before in anticipation of this move that we've seen right over here. This is the projected low, which happens right now. So what I'm saying is this. This is only the beginning of the cycle in sugar. I think we're going to see higher sugar prices for the next 3 years, possibly significantly higher. And the thing that's most interesting about it is you really don't need sugar unless you're in South America where you're using sugar and ethanol to power your vehicles without petroleum. Sugar is basically an inflation-related commodity. When personal consumption and personal income go up, sugar consumption goes up. So if we're looking at an inflationary world economy fundamentally, this is just the beginning of the move for sugar.
And historically, it has gone a lot higher.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of really nice sugar ETFs, SGG and CANE, cane and SGG.
How about coffee?
So let's take a look at coffee. I think you'll see something super interesting in coffee, at least living in my own little fantasy world here. I see things that maybe people don't see. Here's coffee. The cycles have been very predictable, not perfect, but predictable, showing that toward the middle of last year, we saw low in coffee prices, but that was preceded by this, which is the biggest commercial buying of coffee futures in history. So who would be buying all that coffee? Well, obviously it would be Starbucks and other coffee companies buying coffee at a cheap price and then selling you your $2 cup of coffee for $6 and claiming they had to do it because the price went up. They were right. The price has gone up. But what they didn't tell you was that for 3 years, they were buying coffee at dirt cheap prices. And this is just the beginning of the move. So you can expect stocks like Starbucks to continue higher because their bottom line is going to reflect the fact that they buy hedged coffee at much cheaper prices.
With regards to the U.S. dollar, a lot of people were thinking, I was of the opinion that when it went down towards 88 and 90, that was an area that it would bounce out of because our yield advantage came back. You know, it went from 104 down to 90 because they wiped out our interest rates. But when the yields go back up and Europe and Asia don't go back up, now we've got our yield advantage. And so that's gives us a little bit of support so far. But what does it look like on the U.S. dollar?
Check this out. Right over here, which is June of 2021, the cycle bottoms. The cycle may already have bottomed because you've got commercials coming into the market as buyers and they buy way ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So what the chart is basically saying is dollar goes higher. If dollar goes higher, that can only happen in a couple of ways. One of which is higher interest rates. So don't sell the dollar short. I think it's got a lot of life in it.
Which is totally, there's so many people short the dollar, it could just stay stable on short covering. You know?
Well, here's what happens. The commercials, if you look at this, every time the chart turns green, commercials are buying ahead of time. Right. The last time they had this much much buying power was right over here before this rally. And previous to that, this very long period of buying before this move up. And by the way, these may look like small moves on the chart, but these are futures and they're dollar-wise really big moves. While we're here, let me show you this one. Check this out. Palladium. And again, I want to be very careful when I say look at palladium, because as a futures market, it'll kill you dead if you're wrong. But here is the cycle low in palladium happening right now. It's not a perfect cycle, but if this cycle is correct, palladium could go to $3,000 an ounce. That would not surprise me. But as I said before, be very careful if you own palladium. Buy the ingots, buy the coins. Don't trade the futures. They'll kill you dead if you're wrong.
With regards to the stock index, anyway, let's look at one that hasn't moved that much and maybe it could be the star of the year. What about cotton? Because, you know, you got to look at the things people aren't talking about sometimes.
You bet. Cotton's had a little mini bull market for the last couple of months. It's been pretty good. But here's the cycle. As you can see, the cycle is heading lower until late this year. But this little rally, which is not so little actually in terms of dollars, was preceded by these levels of commercial buying. So I'm always wanting to look at what commercials are doing.
Yeah.
Interested in the long-term move. And they have rarely, very rarely been wrong on cotton. And you can see they've stopped buying. So that's a negative.
Yeah.
So this little move in cotton may be over for the time being.
Well, 50 to 100 is a nice little run. They probably do some hedging up there or something.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now here's the big one, because everyone's in on this. Let's look at the S&P 500, because this Hearst cycle thing supposedly was saying that today was supposed to be the cycle high and it's supposed to roll over from here. And it did show the legs were a little wobbly today. And is there any truth to that, you think? Or what do you think?
I don't see it. Here's what I see.
Okay.
Commercials are actually buying S&P futures.
Okay.
They're buying the Russell. They're buying the Qs. The cycle is still bullish for another year or so. So I don't see it. And in fact, today was a seasonal buy date, or was it yesterday, in the S&P futures. So I'm short-term bullish and long-term bullish as well.
I got you. So there's no evidence on those cycles that you're looking at
that
there would be a high point. Well, it looked like you had a decent high point there at about 3,400 a year ago, right before the drop.
You mean here?
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of in line with the top, right?
Well, it was in line with the top and the bottom that came very close to it thereafter. Yeah. You know, the thing you want to look at is on a microscopic level. Here's the weekly chart and here's the daily. So you can see what's happening. Commercials are buying, market goes up. They're buying, market goes up. They're buying a little bit, market goes up a little. And just recently, this was the buying they did just in the last 10 days.
Yep.
And it preceded the rally we're looking at right now. So if you're going to trade long-term, intermediate term, especially in markets that have futures, you really want to see what commercials are doing. They've rarely been wrong because they've got staying power.
Right. Would NASDAQ be a similar setup?
Yep. Let me show it to you. Let me get it.
Because that has actually had a pullback, and I have found that buying that pullback was a pretty sharp thing to do.
Yep. Here we go. Let's put the Qs on there. Here you go. Here's the chart. And you can see what commercials are doing. They're actually buying all the way up and going to the daily chart. This is the daily chart. So still a bull trend. I don't see anything here that's happening other than a normal, reasonable correction in a bull market.
Yeah, that Tom Lee from Fundstrat was on TV, and he was saying that the ARK funds and the Qs may very well have seen their lows of the year during that pullback that just occurred. And if in fact that's true, that's decent information to have.
Wouldn't be surprised. He's a pretty laid-back kind of guy. I like what he does.
Yeah, I find him to be sharp. But, you know, like I say, you always have to have caveats because you don't know where the out-of-left-field snowball is going to hit you in the head, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, especially with COVID and everything else. What about the Treasury bond market? They were down towards 155 today in the June. And
I am looking for a low in futures. In fact, let me do this. Let me switch screens and go to a daily chart. We've got some bullish momentum divergence happening in the bonds. Let me bring up the chart just 1 second, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to this chart here and we bring up the bonds, 1 second, please. Here is the June bond chart, 30-year bond. I'll bring it up on the screen. Check what's happening. Daily chart. So we've got futures heading down, making a new low, but our divergence indicators are moving up. So we actually have, as of a couple of days ago, a buy trigger for a short-term rally in bond futures. And so we would be long the market here looking for a move to the upside.
Yeah, which might correspond if the stocks had a little bit of a sell-off, or because the numbers came out not very good. They had retail sales down 3% in the month of February. But of course, they weather-related, they saw it. But people buy on Amazon. I don't care what the weather is, right?
That's true. So yeah, I'm not really that good at fundamentals, but
yeah,
technicals are really super interesting to me at this point in time. Because as I say, you've got this lower lows, but higher lows in the indicators. And that is a very significant leading indicator of a move to the upside. That's the same in bonds and in the 10-year note.
Why don't we look at Bitcoin through the lens of GBTC, the Grayscale ETF, which is a little bit easier to trade than opening up a wallet and all that. And while you're doing that, I just wanted to give you a little bit of, my feeling has been that one of the problems with Bitcoin is 95% of the supply is being held by 2% of the accounts, which means it's kind of a very illiquid situation. And also it is based very heavily on faith in that, if you have a dollar, you can go spend it and it's backed by the treasury. If you have gold, it's been around for 3,000 years and there is some utility to it. But with the Bitcoin, no dividend, no internal rate of return, other intrinsic value except faith, almost like a piece of art, but you can at least look at a piece of art. Do you see problems with that longer term in that you can't have anything where 95% of it is owned by such a small group?
You know, I've got a love-hate relationship with Bitcoin. I own a bunch of cryptos. In fact, my son, Elliot, works for one of the biggest crypto companies in the world.
Okay.
So I can't really talk about what he does very much, but the bottom line is he understands cryptos like I've never heard anybody understand it before, but I can't relate to it at all.
Right.
Looking at the chart technically, and I don't have GBTC, but here is Bitcoin itself showing some very significant divergence, by which I mean, just in the last few days, we've made new all-time highs, but our momentum indicator keeps going down. And we had a little gap over here where we opened a bunch higher at new highs and came down. So for the last couple of days, we're actually heading lower. And I'm a little bit negative on Bitcoin here.
My theory on it is that when it drops 30 to 50% would be a place where you might want to take a bite, but to buy it on strength is always dangerous.
I would say so. You're better off going with a Bitcoin ETF or a crypto ETF than actually buying it itself.
And you've had 30 to 50% drops already in the last year a number of times. So it's not like these 30 to 50% drops don't occur.
That's right. And remember, stocks like the one that we talked about earlier, Riot, blockchain, and so forth, they're related to Bitcoin through the blockchain.
How about the marijuana stocks to close out on a high note?
that was pretty good. I love trading those. In fact, today I bought ACB. Let me show the chart. It's a great little trading stock. And Tilray is a good stock to trade as well. So these have been great vehicles. They trade very much like futures do. That's the weekly chart. I think it's the daily chart. So yeah, these are great stocks to trade. Probably as investments, they'd be good, but you've got to go with quality. Tilray is probably one of the better ones, TLRY.
And one other one is a real estate investment trust, like Simon Properties would be one. SPC, I think it's called. Yeah.
SPG.
SPG, yeah.
You know, these to me would basically be yield plays. Let me bring up the yield on this one. The yield here, hold on one second, please. I'm going to bring up the yield if I can remember how to do that. Here we go. So they are yielding about 3%, which these days compared to 0% in the bank is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so with all the people saying, hey, you know, people don't want to be in malls anymore. They don't want to have an office anymore. I think they've done remarkably well. And I think they're still pretty good stocks. So.
Yeah. And it's not like when you buy a bond, if the rates go up, your principal goes down more than your coupon pretty fast, which has happened to people in the last month and a half.
Sure.
And so, you know, when you're getting paid 2% and the bond drops 7%, that's really not what you want to see. So here you have a rising principal and you're getting good dividend and that'll attract capital.
That is correct. And I believe there's an ETF on a farmland property. I can't remember what the ETF is offhand, but you might want to check into that because with farmers making more money and crops being more expensive, agricultural land's going to go up and there's a couple of good REITs or ETFs in that area.
Farmland REIT?
Mm-hmm. I think it's called FPI. Let me check it out. FPI.
Plus, yes, there's a lot of subsidies going out there. Huh?
Oh, yeah. So there's farmland property right over there. It's a nice little chart. Very bullish chart. Very, very predictable chart. And that's the daily chart. And I think they're actually paying a dividend. Let me check that out. They're paying 1.4%. Not worth it for the dividend. dividend, but certainly as a little stock.
So it's gone up 40%. That's not going to hurt anybody.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting to the top of the hour, Jake. And as usual, this has been absolutely fantastic for people who are taking notes. I hope they get some good value out of it. But you have a service. And can you explain how people, what kind of service you're offering and then how people can get the service?
They can go to my website, jakebernstein.com. There's a number of different things I do there. I'm having a webinar this weekend. In fact, my quarterly forecast where I'm going to show the cycles, the projections, the support and resistance and trend for all the different markets. And all they got to do is go to my website, jakebernstein.com, and read all about me, the good and the bad and the ugly.
And this is a great time of year to go to the seminar and look to see what your cycle work and projections are, because obviously it's March and you got the rest of the year unfolding. So it would be nice. As always, it's been great. You know, obviously the prices have moved on a lot of things from last year, so they're not as easy to, you know, grab your hands around as they were a year ago, but there's still plenty of opportunity for the rest of the year. And at your webinar, you're going to obviously go over where you see those opportunities for 2021, right?
That, and some of those moves are just beginning and they're going to be pretty dramatic, especially things like sugar, which a lot of people relate to. But like I said, the two ETFs, CANE and SGG, come down to support very good trades to be in for the longer term. Jim, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Jake. Always a pleasure, and hope to do it soon again. Thank you.
And thanks, David, for organizing all this.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks, Jake, for being here. Great to have you back again.
My pleasure.
So, just a quick reminder for everyone. Be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast app to get instant updates on future episodes. Also, this episode, as soon as I can get it posted. And all the episodes are also on timingresearch.com. Like Jake said, be sure to check out his site for his jakebernstein.com for his upcoming quarterly forecast. And you can find the Option Professor at optionprofessor.com. And thanks.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Yep.